Blog Talk Radio.
Muli bonje, muli bonje.
Lord of House.
Ninaendo kula miji. Okay. Vaonete komeno, vaonete komeno. Smile and wave. It's lights, camera, action. Mwine fili mundine, I'm the icon. Nibazira kuhone kafuleshi, allergic to messy. Motoka nimbama, nobody touch me. But even in the liquor, had a conviction planted by the maker, saying you faker. There's only one truth you can use to navigate your way and produce fruit. Content with access arising and pleasing these human eyes when their hearts are so full of lies and don't value what is inside.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. My name is Matilda Mwava Lucas. I am your host. I was the host for Ichalo Cheso, and we are back 2016. I know you have missed us, yes, I have missed you. Today, I am talking to Stacy Sousa, a young lady, very positive, very inspiring young lady, and she'll be talking to us about setting your gifts. I just want to welcome and say good afternoon to my co-host, Nathan. Nathan, good afternoon. Okay, Nathan, I'm not able to hear you. All right.
Hi, Matilda.
Hello, Nathan. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome. Looking forward to a great discussion.
Yes, same here. I chose this particular song, Zelu Nimu Packaging, is because our friend Stacy Sousa is going to talk about our gift and the packaging that it comes in. So, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Matilda. It's such a fun on your radio show.
You are most welcome. I was first introduced to Stacy Sousa via a YouTube video link that was shared to me by her sister, Susan. This was when Stacy was presenting on a TED Talk in Namibia. This YouTube video can be found online, or you can go to our Facebook page and find it. Stacy, if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself on TED Talk.
Right. I'm, like you said, a young woman, Zambian by birth, but currently living in Namibia. I've been here for close to 10 years now. I'm a lawyer by profession, and I specialize on issues of international trade law. The last born in my family, I'm sure Susan must have told you that. I'm lecturing as well as have a job dealing with trade-related matters. And basically, how TED happened is that last year, while I was lecturing, I was trying to find a way of helping my students be inspired and exposed to various platforms where they could be inspired by talks and discussions that affected their lives and the economy, etc. And during my research, I found TEDx Namibia. It's just recently been launched, and they were holding a TED Talk based on the university premises, actually. So I dropped them an email and said, look, I'm lecturing and I have young students that would benefit from a talk like TED. Would you be interested in perhaps allowing some of them to intern or be a part of what you're doing? That was, I think, July, if I'm not mistaken, June about there. I only got an email back, I think, a month later, and they said, look, your email got lost, etc. Thank you for the support, but would you like to give it a book? And that's how it happened.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And from that talk, you went on and became an author. Tell us about that.
Yes, absolutely did. So what happened was that obviously when they offered me the opportunity, I hadn't spoken publicly and to a huge audience like the way that TED attract, because apart from the ones that attend the show, they actually cut live across the world. So it's thousands of people listening in and actually watching it. So obviously I got, you know, a bit nervous and I was asking myself, must I do this and can I do this? But yes, I ended up doing it. So what happened as a precursor to the book is that the evening before the final talk, so obviously I had to do a rehearsal and prep for the next day. And so I was nervous, and I kept telling the other speakers, no, you can go ahead and go ahead and go ahead. But after like 5 minutes, I couldn't hide any longer. It was my turn to go up stage, and I went there and spoke about what I had to speak about. Uh-huh. And so when I was done, I could just hear a lady right in the back of the room. It was dark because obviously you have that spotlight shining on you. And she was cheering, and she's like, you have no idea. Your talk was so inspiring. Can I get your number? I'm working on so many things. I need to contact you. We need to chat after TED and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I was like, okay, fine, you know. And after that, we never really got to chat, but somehow she got my number. And a month later, she calls me up and says, Stacey, look, I recently partnered with a lady in America that is an author, and this is the project that we're working on. Immediately, you spoke at TED. I knew you had to be a part of this project. So that's how the book happened, and that's how I became an author.
Amazing, amazing. But not for us to get ahead of ourselves. We will come back and talk about the book. So back to the TED Talk and the book is the reason why we have brought you here. After listening to the YouTube link, as I mentioned earlier, it's very inspiring, very motivating. You talk about gifts. And the title of your TED Talk was Your Gift Can Set You Apart. Now, to hear such a powerful message from a young person as yourself, it's refreshing and encouraging, and it makes a lot of people think to say, how come I never thought about that? So let's walk through. What is a gift, and what do you mean by your gift can set you apart?
Just a bit of background to that message. It's funny that after I gave the TED Talk, a lot of people came up acknowledging what impact it actually has. Because when it came to me, it was so personal. And it was so profound because when I shared it after the TED Talk, a lot of people were listening in, and one of the CEOs of a great NGO in Namibia said to me, you don't realize, but what you're speaking about is universal. It's something that somebody can understand. And I said to him, when I had it and when I was talking about it, the idea was not really to make everyone a believer of what I was saying. I was just simply saying it because it was my experience. And he said something so profound to me. He said, you know what, Stacey? Personal truth becomes universal truth because we are one race, we're one people, and we go through certain journeys. But the ways in which to achieve, to overcome those hurdles or journeys, we find that that is the common ground that we share as human beings. You might have thought it was only specific to you, but as soon as it came out, you found that it's relating to a whole lot more other people than yourself. So how the talk came up was last year, I think I mentioned that I did my master's in trade law and I'm doing my PhD. So I went to do that in South Africa. But I came back 2013, came back to Windhoek. And obviously, I am a foreigner in Namibia because I'm Zambian by birth and origin. And so ordinarily, you won't find it that easier to get a job or set up a business, etc. But with all of that, I knew that I had something to give. I knew that given a chance, I could actually... Michael, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So with all of that acknowledgement that I had to make that, you know, being who I am and my nationality, et cetera, in another nation, I knew that for me to make that mark, there had to be something about me that if I met a person, I would ordinarily be set apart and they would want to give me a shot. And so I was having this conversation with God. I was laying on my bed, and I said, okay, Lord, fine. I've got my degrees and all of these accolades that follow me. But I'm not the first, neither am I the last that's ever going to have this. So outside all of these things that I possess, what is it about me that is different? What can make me tick? What will set me apart? Uh-huh. And I think I mentioned it to you that it came so clearly. I can almost hear it today. And it said, your gift will will make room for you and bring you before kings. And I knew I had seen it in the Bible somewhere. And I went to Proverbs, and there I found it, Proverbs 18, verse 9, if I'm not mistaken. And ever since then, that realization, it made me see myself and appreciate myself in a different light.
Uh-huh.
God was saying to me, look, don't generalize yourself, because outside all of these qualifications that you're talking to me about, I have placed something in you that is going to set you apart, and that I have made them with a purpose in life. And equipped or together with that purpose is a gift that will allow you to execute your purpose here on earth. And so I always say to people that speak to me after this, I said, ever since that day, it's been amazing the doors that God has opened. And I can imagine that those doors had always been before me, but because I didn't see myself as worthy or as deserving or having that gift that would set me apart, I couldn't really comprehend possessing them. But after that, it's like the whole world just opened up to me simply because my mindset changed.
Right.
Yes, in a nutshell.
Wow, I'm getting excited just listening to what you're saying. I can hear the excitement in your voice as well. For those who have called in,
it's so personal to me.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Just as it was personal to you, I think all of us will be able to pick up something and make it personal for ourselves. For the listeners that have called in and would like to ask Stacey a question, you can press 1 and we'll get to you, and we'll acknowledge you and ask. You'll get a chance to ask a question. Nathan, so far in our introduction with Stacey, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear how she was just sort of challenged and pushed to those levels where she had to stand up and do what she had to do. But enjoying the conversation, I'm sure as we continue talking, as Stacey
something
continues talking,
up.
Questions will arrive. Yes.
Yes, Stacey. So you did give a definition, and just for those who haven't been able to listen to your YouTube video, what is a gift?
When I did the talk, obviously I had to refer to things like the dictionary so I could get a literal understanding. But I think that there's a common understanding of what a gift is, as well as the spiritual aspect. So when you look at it based on books and literature and dictionaries, etc., a gift is an extraordinary ability to do something.
Uh-huh.
It is an endowment. It is an ability that you have to do something better than anybody else that doesn't have that gift. Dictionary-wise, that is what a gift is. It's an ability to do something better than anyone else. But when you look at it spiritually, I think that just giving a definition based on the journeys that I've walked with God, a gift is an ability that God gives you in order to execute your God-given purpose. So it's like you send someone to the shops. You say to them, go and buy me bread, milk, sugar, and whatever the case is. But if you want them to do that, you have to give them what it takes for them to buy the milk, bread, sugar. So the gift is the means by which you will achieve that which you were purposed for. I hope that's sufficient.
No. It makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. Yes. Just to sum it up, you did mention it's a special ability, an endowment, a notable capacity, and it is a talent. And that really does sum it up. A lot of people do ask themselves, am I gifted? Do I have a gift? They'll look at it as in terms of, can I play music? Am I an artist? Do I have a basketball talent? And you say it's more than that. Tell us about that.
While I was going through all of this, figuring out what exactly God was trying to talk to me about, I actually did go down that road. I said, okay, what about singing, you know, people that write poetry, people that can act and whatever it may be? I think it's a combination of both. Because remember, that gift is something that's going to allow you to achieve that which it is you were purposed for when God created you. So for me, I couldn't relate to things like singing because I cannot sing. I have tried. That just never worked. I cannot act. I cannot do those ordinary things that the world perceives as a gift or a talent. So obviously when I checked that box, I didn't apply. And so I knew that my gift didn't lie there. But for somebody else that can sing, I'll give you an example. The song you were playing, Pompey, his gift has made room for him. Look at how great he's doing, not only in Zambia, in Africa, and the world over. So it shouldn't necessarily take a certain shape or form. But whatever that gift is, you have to understand that it's linked to your purpose here on earth. It's your ability, or rather the fuel that will drive you to get to that which it is that God created you for. So the form thereof, in law we say substance over form, the form thereof is not really important, but it's the substance thereof. It can be your singing gift, it can be writing, whatever the case may be. But you see, even with singers, we've heard about things like one-hit wonders. Why did they never come back? They can sing, but do they really understand what it's all about? And that's why we have successful singers and not so successful singers. Because I think you have to understand yourself holistically, your gift and the place that it has and what it ministers to your whole person. And sometimes we abuse our gift. If you're going to use it to glorify yourself, then already you're dealing with a problem. But if you understand that your gift is linked to, somebody once told me that if your vision has nothing to do with community or with serving and with helping, then there's a problem with the vision, because God is about people. He's people-centered. Uh-huh. So if you're using your gift for personal gratification, then obviously therein lies the problem. So what sets you apart is, number one, realizing your gift and realizing the purpose for that gift. Yes, you will benefit because obviously you're the carrier thereof, but essentially it's meant for you to touch other people and influence them as well.
That's very powerful. I can see that being a message in the church somewhere, or some type of motivational speech. Now, we talk about you have conditioned your mind to know and understand that you are great. A number of us or a number of people will go through the day-to-day life and the hustle and bustle, the complaining about how hard life is and so on. They look at a lot of things that may just not be going their way, and they end up just living. I mean, just existing and not living. How did you get your mind conditioned to know that, to accept that you are great? Is that part of your gift, or is it something that everybody can do? Because there are a number of people who just have a hard time accepting that they are special and beautifully and wonderfully made.
If I can't really point to a time when it actually clicked for me, but for as long as I can remember, from as far back as primary school, secondary school, I knew I didn't want to fit in. And a lot of people misconceive this perception because they somehow related to being proud and you think you're all that in a bag of chips. That's absolutely not the case. But you see, I'm trying to put it all in order.
Uh-huh.
One thing that we need to understand as human beings is that, number one, the battles of life and how well we do at winning them is all in your mind.
Right.
What your mind perceives and what your mind believes is how your person will begin to follow through. And I can understand people that today feel nothing close to greatness, feel nothing close to being victorious. Because what happened is that when we are born, everything about us is perfect. Look at how people boo and ah and gush about babies, because they're so cute and gullible and perfect in every way. But
right.
As you grow up and begin to get I teach Sunday school on a Saturday, and I have a young adult group on a Friday. And I was talking to them about this. I said, look, when you were young and somebody asked you, what do you want to be? You get great things like, I want to be president, I want to be a pilot, I'm going to be a doctor, and this and this and that. Ask them 15 years down the line, they will probably tell you, No, maybe work in a company, you know, what has changed from when you were a kid and 15 years later? When
right.
you were a kid, everything was possible. The world was at your hands. But as you're growing up, you're starting to realize, okay, there's hardships. There's this thing called poverty. There's this thing called not having school fees. There's this thing called and being abused. And it begins to recondition your mind to understanding that you're just all about everything that's going on. Forgetting that before you were exposed to the world, you had this awesome vision about yourself, but because you're going through life, you begin to sort of water yourself down. You want to fit in. Forgetting that before you conditioned your mind to fit in, you were a gate. In your mind, you were a pilot. You were president material. But between then and 20 years later, something happened. So it's not so much that the person changes. It's the circumstances that happen to a person that makes them change their perception about themselves. And so I was blessed because I knew that that was my saving grace. I had to hang on to that thing of, I'm great. I'm going to do great things one day. I don't want to fit in. And that absolutely fueled my courage, my ambition to do things that were exceptional, because I knew that anything less than what I had conditioned my mind to understand was simply not acceptable. Not an issue of pride, but the world needs that much excellence. Imagine if 30 people understood that they were great and they could achieve anything. Imagine the impact that they would make. So it's not something peculiar to me as a person. It's something everyone can do. So, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Time is moving very quickly, and we haven't even talked about the book and even addressed a bit of international trade. We may have to bring you back for that. Before we transition over to the book, Nathan, if you had any comments before we invite Alan. Alan, I do see you have a question to ask. Nathan, did you want to contribute on?
Yes. It's a great discussion. What I wanted to ask Stacy to address is, Stacy, growing up in Zambia, there's a certain time, if I may use that expression, I believe Matilda and Alan will identify with this. Stacy, you remember there's this thing that you talked about, gifting, okay? What do you want to be when you grow up as a child? Remember, when you were growing up, this was the situation in Zambia. You were either told you need to be a lawyer, you need to be a doctor, or you need to be an engineer, okay? Mm-hmm. Those were the prime careers or professions.
Yeah.
This is what I have observed, what has happened. This is what I've observed, what has happened. Or you've noticed this yourself. You noticed that we have a lot of motivational speaking talent that has come up. We have people doing comedy as a career, as a profession, making money.
Yeah.
We have people doing, even the music industry has exploded. When I was growing up, if you started playing a musical instrument, your parents would tell you, put that thing away and go and read your books.
Exactly.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So can you address what has changed? What happened?
You mean what has happened between when we grew up and now?
Yes, what has happened? Suddenly,
Okay, I'll give you two scenarios. This is not even to say that our parents didn't raise us right, because at that moment, they too had to succumb to the realities of life. Then they knew that a musical career will absolutely do nothing for you, for instance. And so, number one, before we get to addressing what has happened, for instance, in Zambia, have a very key role to play in how a child's life ends up. And I can tell you now already that what has happened between then and now is that the world has begun to open up to these unconventional ways of success, like you were saying, singing, acting. There's actually a lot of money in it. You can make a career out of it. Whereas 20, 30 years ago, like you said, pick up a guitar and you're told, go pick up your books, because that's what the world dictated. And so as human beings, we become conditioned to make decisions based on what the world is doing. So what has happened between those two phases is that parents have actually seen that if you your child has a talent in music, absolutely, go for it. The other ones would tell you, okay, if you want to do this, still go to school and get a degree, you know, have a backup plan. So I think that that's what has happened, is that the world has now become receptive to bringing in such talent and actually allowing people to make a living out of it. And coming back to my point is that parents have an absolute crucial role to play in how a child understands or perceives life. Because when you're growing up, your parent is literally your God. What mommy and daddy say goes. So as you're growing up, if you're not encouraged to step out of the boundary, not that I'm saying leave your books, but in your spare time, if you want to put in effort into your gift, then by all means, go ahead and do that. It won't hurt at the end of the day to have a degree and still be able to sing and make people fall over. So I think that's what has happened, is that over the years, parents have also begun to appreciate that success is not only defined in the conventional ways of like engineer, lawyer, etc.
Well said.
Good.
Excellent, excellent. I'll go to the phone lines now and allow a few questions, and then we'll get back. We'll transition on and talk about the books. Good afternoon, Alan. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure, of course, to be to call in and listen to the program. It's very interesting and inspiring. I guess my question, I had a lot. It's just I was kind of multitasking, but what I'll zero in on, there's a lot of information that we are getting, generally speaking, and being somebody that works with people and is also working on his own life in terms of achieving some of those dreams and understanding that surely I was created for more than what's going on right now, you know. I just wanted to see if she can comment on this. I think there's a gap between the knowing what we are capable of doing once a person gets to that point, but then how then do we show or teach people to then begin to move into what the knowledge that you have, that, for instance, you were created to be this or that. I think from my experience, that's an area that lacks, because there's a lot of motivation going on. Some of it's really awesome. Some of it just nonsense. But for the most part, there's a lot of good inspiration. So I'm just wondering if she has or has thought through or has some kind of program, some things that they do. I know she works with young adults and the kids. That probably tells me she is doing something.
Okay. Stacey, you got the question?
Hello?
Yes, Stacey, were you able to catch what Alan was asking?
The most part, the last I heard was, I know she's working with young adults and children, and then after that it sort of phased off.
Alan, you want to go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you're working with young adults and children, that's I know you probably are doing something, but I'm saying there is a kind of a gap or disconnect between realization that I am created for greatness or better than this, into now how do I begin to walk out into that greatness.
Right.
So that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alan, thank you so much for your question, and it's so relevant because that's a journey that I had to walk, and I'm still walking.
Mm-hmm.
It's only just about started.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when I started lecturing, the first day into class, I walked in, and I was, for lack of a better word, I was sad, because I was lecturing about over 120 students. And the first thing that I picked up in within 2 minutes of my being there is that the students were absolutely not motivated, not concerned, had no appreciation of who they were and what they could do. And I said to myself, if I'm going to do anything outside teach these kids, is allow them to see themselves in a different light. I'll answer your question in two ways. Number one, the point that you raised about having a lot of motivational speakers, etc., that is true. And I, too, have a problem with somebody speaking to me from up there and I'm down here. How do I get from down here to up there? That's what everybody really wants to know. And the answer that I got to that is that people absolutely want to relate. They want you to speak to them, and inside they're going, aha, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've walked that journey. Motivation is not about standing on some a high place and talking down to people and you should and you must. For me, one of the women that I referred to in the TED Talk, I called her and I said, can I make reference to you? Because you've been such a great example to me. And she said to me, Stacey, if the talk that you're going to give is not going to inspire somebody to get up and do something different, please do not refer to me. And I absolutely took that to heart. Now, how to deliver that journey to get to where I am is that these young kids need to know that, look, number one, I've been where you are. I've made wrong decisions before. I've messed up before. But look at me. You can do what I'm doing. People just need to relate, and they need to understand that you're not talking to them from a high point and, you know, throwing all these how-to-dos at them. At the end of the day, the best way to teach is by being an example. And that's why I'm not nothing against motivational speakers. But for me, that's why it's important to get their message across, because in those little areas that we're in those small communities, in our churches, in our friends, are we being an example? Being a mentor is not about having a foundation or standing on some stage and talking down to people. Wherever you are you giving an example to say, look, this can be done better? So the way that I have done it is to lead by example and relate to these people. I actually sit down and chat. So how are you? What's going on? And create relationships. Because from there, I'm able to pinpoint and say, look, that thing that you referred to, guess what? I'm going through it or I've been through it. And that already makes them think, okay, this person is over here, but they've been where I am, so I have a shot. So in answer to your question, Alan, number one is to relate and take time to invest in people. I know motivational speakers, when they speak at some events, they have no time to get to meet everyone. And that's why there's an onus on each one of us to touch a life, wherever you are. It's not about being given a pulpit or a stage or whatever. It's about being relevant wherever God has placed you at that time.
Right.
I hope that answers your question, Alan.
Okay, Alan may have stepped away from the phone.
Oh,
but
sorry, I think it does, and I'm glad. I was listening to her. I muted, but I was listening to her answer, because I think for me it tells me that she is on the right track, because it's the walking through that's most important. And if she's got channels and a program where you're following through with the young kids, that's pretty awesome. You know, that's something that a lot of us would get behind, because that's really where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So. I'm looking forward to reading her book and maybe getting to watch some of the YouTube presentations, you know. And because another thing I'll throw out there is that there are people who will say, okay, great, I'm now 35 years old. I've not been to the university. I do not have the qualifications that you have, you know, or school is out for me. How do I still become that or become all that God has created me to become, you know? All right.
Okay. Alan, thank
you. Sorry.
Go ahead, Stacey.
No, I was just about to comment to what Alan was talking about. It is true, because I've actually had people much later in their lives that have commented about the talk. And until today, the one guy messaged him and said, I'm still actually thinking about it. You see, the thing about coming to a realization like a purpose, and you have a gift to allow you to execute that purpose, is that it creates a hunger in you. It absolutely changes your mind. You suddenly don't want to settle for what you've been dealing with. You become curious to finding out what you can actually achieve. And you will find that once you get there, things will just begin to sort of align themselves. People say the universe will conspire with you to make it happen. But it's simply because if there's slots for each one of us on Earth, your realization of that means you've gone right in. How can I give an example? If you have a hole that fits for something to go in, that's exactly where you would be. So that means that no matter how much older you are in life, it's never too late, because the impact will be great, because you're actually impacting on something that you can do exceptionally well. So it's not about age, it's about relevance, regardless of how old you are or where you are.
Okay. Well, Stacey, we will go. I'm looking at the time, and it's quickly slipping away, which means for me, I'm having a good time enjoying this conversation. If for our callers, if you have a question or a comment for Stacey, please do press 1. For those who are listening online and would like to call in, the number to dial is 347-237-4270. Again, that is 347-237-4270. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Stacey, we mentioned earlier that from the TED Talk, this, and you explained, you know, gave us a bit of a background on how this led to you being a co-author on a book. And you have co-authored a book called 20 Beautiful Women, African Edition. This was launched in November of 2015, and you have another book already getting ready to come out?
Correct. So what happened is that after the 20 Beautiful Women collaboration with one of America's best authors, and so what happened is that obviously the African chapter was African women telling their African stories. And after that book was launched, we had such a tremendous outreach from people that said, look, what you guys did was absolutely great. I've always wanted to do this, and I know that people can learn from my story, but I just never knew how to quite do it. And so the ladies and I got together and said, look, here's a chance for people to tell African stories that can relate. Because as I was saying to Alan, the thing about inspiring and motivating people, what is key and central to that is the ability for the person that's listening or reading to relate. Because it means to them, once they click that you've been through what they're going through and you're where you are, it already gives them the oomph to want to fight. And so we decided Africans need to tell their own African stories. So we got together with three other women, and we're doing an African chapter of the book, which is launching April, probably the middle of April. And after that, there's so many other projects that we're working on, which I will happily share on my various social media handles. So, yes, there is absolutely another book on the way.
So you've mentioned you collaborated on this, and it does tell women are telling their stories. What type of stories are we able to find from this? I know you've mentioned, and I actually looked this up. You know, if you Barnes & Noble has this book, and they have it listed as a bestseller. And in our conversation in preparing for this interview, it went on as a bestseller within 24 hours of being published. So that means there's something great in there. The content is wonderful. What kind of stories can we find there?
Absolutely. It the stories are wonderful. I might sound like a politician, for lack of a better word, or a motivational speaker. Call it what you want. But Africa is powerful. Africa has such wealth. It has such talent. It's just, and so everything that's linked to Africa in my mind is great. The people, the country, our wealth, our resource, everything about us is great. And so I think that already when Africa Edition came out, it's like a magnet, Africa. And, you know, people just want to dig into it. So in answer to your question, what kind of stories that you find, and as a way of addressing your earlier statement, the book that we're releasing is across the board. It's women, it's men, it's teenagers. We'll have different things that we'll launch, but like I said, they'll be shared on my different social media handles. But the kind of stories that they will find are, they're diverse. It is women finding themselves in their career, it is women dealing with past hurts and emotions and how they have somewhat overcome and still dealing with it. It is women that whose lives were dictated to by what they went through as children but have come out of it It's women that knew how to assert themselves in life. So it's an array of stories. I always say to people, and it's about me because I had my chapter, but in one book you're going to get 20 other beautiful stories that will absolutely inspire you and change the way that you live a lot of things. So, yeah, it's a diverse range of stories.
Okay. And Stacey, normally I would wait till the end of the hour of the program, but I will ask now so that if we need to repeat this, we will. If someone wants to get in touch with you, our listening audience is inspired, they were not able to ask a question, or they just want to contribute or congratulate you or even find out more information on the book, how can a person reach out to you? How can we be in touch?
Okay. On Facebook, I have a page. It's called Stacey Sousa. That's spelled as S-T-A-C-E-Y, S-T-A-C-E-Y. Sousa, S-U-S-A. So I'm happy to engage and chat over there if you're on Facebook or want to find me on Facebook. On Twitter, my Twitter handle is Sousa with a capital S, S-U-S-A, 2613. So that's Sousa, at Sousa 2613. How else? Email Sousa Stacey, just my name. A lot of Stacey's are going around, but anyway, Sousa Stacey at gmail.com or Stacey Sousa at yahoo.com. I hope that's about sufficient.
Okay, fantastic. And with your permission, we'll share that information on our Zambia Blog Talk Radio page for those who, for some reason or the other, did not catch all the information. So you have a book that will be launching also in April. I know the title is still in the works. Is this a continuation of the 20 Beautiful Women, or is this a totally different project?
A bit of both. A continuation in the sense that the message still needs to get across. So we're continuing on that end. But different in that the angle and obviously that it will continue after April. So, yes, a bit of both.
Okay. Now, Stacey, yeah. I will put you on the spot with this question. So brace yourself. In the YouTube video, you made some references to some examples. You know, you gave examples of people who you have come in contact with or you know from a distance who you recognize talent. And one person you mentioned was the president of Namibia. Without mentioning any candidates or any particular political people in Zambia, do you identify talents in among our leaders, or could you, if you feel comfortable enough to mention their name, go for it. But if you want to speak about their talent without mentioning their name, you can, but as specific as you can concerning their talent. Do you see talent amongst our politicians and leaders?
Wow. Yeah, that is on the spot.
That is a tough question.
And while you're asking it, I'm trying to think, oh, my word. To be honest with you, while you were asking me the question, it wasn't one of those things where I knew from the top of my mind who it was. So that already sort of gives you an indication that that I'm anything to go by. But obviously you're asking for my personal opinion, which would differ from person to person.
Right, it's your opinion.
But, yeah. But for me, the fact that nobody immediately came to mind when you asked me that question is somewhat of a problem, and I'll tell you why. The reason I referred to, and maybe this could be a fault on my part, but I'll explain why. The reason I referred to the president of Namibia was because obviously, I'm here and I'm in the law field, and obviously, you have a bit more exposure to what's going on, you know, in government, etc. So, like I said in the TED talk, I didn't say it because I knew him personally, but I could see that the type of work he was doing could not be anything less than the fact that he has an absolute amazing ability to listen to what the people were wanting, and he went out and addressed those concerns. So that's how I was able to come to that deduction.
Now, absolutely.
When you're talking about politics, it's two things.
Or leaders. Or leaders.
Exactly. Exactly. And leaders. It's two things. Unfortunately, we cannot divorce from the fact that sometimes the way that they conduct themselves is to, A, get a following or get people to vote or whatever the case may be. It could be an effort or a ploy to, you know, sway people towards their movement, which is
right.
Scenario number one. Scenario number two is that they genuinely care about the people. To me, that is who I would deem as having a gift to do something exceptional. Not that I haven't seen any. I'm not at liberty to say who, because like I said to you, nobody has come to mind. Because even when I look at the political scene, and that's why I said maybe it's a fault on my part, because I haven't been home in like over 10 years. I'm there once or twice a year. So obviously, yeah. So obviously, what I know about what's going on politically is based on what I read in the media and what chatting here and there. I'm not really on the ground to see, you know. So maybe that's why nobody came to my mind instantly. So in answer to your question, nobody has come to my mind like instantly, but obviously a way to gauge that is to understand the way that they put forward what they want to do for the people. And like I said, that must be taken with a pinch of salt and be understood that it could be a way of, you know, doing politics as the world has known to get people to vote or from an actual point of concern. So,
right.
Yeah,
well,
Matilda, how do you handle that question? Go ahead,
Matilda. I want Stacey to respond to something on the political scenario. It's on the same line as the question on the gifts that I asked to say. From your observation, I know you've pointed out that you haven't been home for the past 10 years. That it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. It doesn't make any significance, in my opinion. We talked about careers, giftings, and how our parents, you used the very powerful word, you said the circumstances or the world is dictating what is happening now. In your opinion, this country has been independent for 50 years. What do you think we need to do better in our politics in Zambia?
So is this asked that it fades off a little bit? Just repeat your question.
I said, what needs to change or what changes or developments do we need to make in our political system in Zambia based on the, with the view of, when responding to this, have the view of the younger generation getting involved?
Nathan, thank you so much for your question. And this is how I'll answer your question. And it will touch on my career as well, because I understand certain aspects of trade, economics, and all of that. Number one, before we even get to the point of what can our leaders do better, you see, before somebody is a leader, they are a person, okay? Obviously, we have this thing called born leaders, etc. But take everything outside. For instance, you're a leader out there, but when you get home, you're simply Jill or Jack or Daddy or Uncle or whatever the case may be. When you're home and by yourself, who are you as a person? Because guess what? That is what will inform the kind of decisions you make as a leader.
If
as a person you're not whole and understand your place and relevance, and that's where we get it wrong. I'm hesitant to say Africa because maybe it's a problem world over. And that's where we get it wrong, is the perception we have as leaders. A leader is to serve. That's number one. It's a privilege to have people follow you and people be under your leadership, because your role is to serve and to inspire them to be better than even than you are. They always say the best CEOs are ones that the company continues even after they're gone. So for me, before we even deal with it on a leadership level, who is the person? What are their values? Do they understand their relevance? Do they understand where they've been given this rare opportunity to lead? it's not about the fame. It's not about I'm the ruling party or you do what I want. That's not the point. And maybe that's where we get it wrong. Leadership is about giving. What are you going to give to the people to help them be a better person tomorrow? That's what it's about. And so as Africa, outside addressing the person, I can tell you from understanding trade-related issues, there's an absolute buzz going on around Africa. People want to invest in Africa. Trade is a good thing. But the problem is our own people are not part of that success. We're not empowered enough to understand that we have the wealth, and so we have the ability to dictate. And so when you look at it from a trade-related scene, Africa is endowed with amazing natural resources. But what's happening? We're exporting the raw materials, and 2 years later, buying back from the outside the same thing that we sent out at 3 times the price. When we can take it from the ground, value add it, and send it out. And I must commend the Zambian government. I was at the Ministry of Trade over my December holidays just to acquaint myself with them. And what they were telling me is that when it comes to copper, right now it costs you more in Zambia to export raw copper than to actually add a bit of value to it and then export it. So in that regard, I can commend the government because we're actually trying to encourage people to add value to our natural resources before we export them. So again, it comes back to addressing the person. If we as an African people don't feel we deserve to dictate the way that world economy works, guess what? Somebody from outside is going to come and teach us how to do it. But it comes back even historically from these issues of slavery and whatever. Bob Marley always says, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. I cannot stress it enough. It's the system mind. If we don't feel worthy enough to dictate our own economies, somebody else will come and do it. So, again, it's the person. It's who they deem themselves to be, because that directly trickles to the decisions they take and to how they rule as leaders. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, great, great response. Thank you.
It definitely does. And, Stacey, your answer was so tremendous. It sets you up for a second interview. We will have to bring you back on Zambia Block Talk Radio so we can talk about international trade law and how it affects Zambia or what's going on in Zambia. We definitely have to have an in-depth conversation on that. If you're up for it, we can always arrange that.
Definitely. I'm happy to do that. I'm passionate about it, and obviously I'm happy to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have about 7 minutes before the program ends. If you have
really?
Any questions, yes, only 7 minutes. Time flew so quickly. Alan, your mic is still on if you want to jump in and say something. Pastor Evans, I see you have called, and thank you so much for your support. If you have a question, please press 1 or comment. If you have anything to say to Stacey, please go ahead and do that now before the program ends. So I'm afraid to ask another question because I might not want to end.
I'm sorry. I know my answers are overly long, but
Not at all. You're doing very well, Stacey, and I do appreciate that. Okay. So for a person who's listening out there, they're hearing this for the first time, they're inspired. They're like, all my life, as Alan had given an example, here I am, just existing. I'm not doing anything. How do I identify my talent? How do I just tap into my potential so I can live the best person that I am? What do you have to say for that person, given all that has been presented? Speak to the one listener who's hearing this for the first time and who needs to set themselves apart.
Right. Without having to do how-tos, the theoretical way of the world, I'll try and make this easy. Because obviously for me too, I had to go through it. So what happened with me, I can only share from personal experience. That's all that I have, and I hope that somebody out there will relate. What happened with me is that I had to understand, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying dump your books and don't get yourself a degree. Absolutely get yourself a degree, because when it comes to it, that is your foot into the door. Before you are set apart from the group, that education will get you in. If you have means of doing it, by all means. If you don't, you're not without recourse. You have another shot. So for me, my journey was a way of, I have all these qualifications, but they're not doing it. They're not cutting it for me. They're not making me relevant the way that I want to be. And so God sent me on a journey. He said to me, look, sit down and go through your life. From the time that you could, you know, apply your mind as a person and start to assert yourself as an individual, go back and do an inventory. Can you point out 2, 3, 4, 5 times that you accessed something or achieved something not based on whether you passed number one in class or whether you were an A student or whether you had a degree? What is it, what's that thing that you were able to achieve absolutely separate from your educational qualifications? I was able to point at a number of them, and already I started to see a trend. And just even last week, 2 weeks ago, I went for an interview for something, and the lady said to me, there's something about you. And I'm like, are you serious? It's the journey that I went through before I gave the TED Talk. And there she was asserting something that I had come to know a few months ago. So if you're sitting at home and trying to figure out how to piece this together, sit down and actually go through your life. Those times that I thought, okay, here I did well. How did you get to do that thing so well? And if it didn't have anything to do with your education, you will start to see a trend. You will see that maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line, something else happened that had absolutely nothing to do with your school. I'm giving an example of school because that's the journey that I walk. But it can be anything. Whatever you do, do an inventory of your life. Look back and point out those times that you achieved something great. Not marriage and graduation and all these things. But maybe your gift could be that you're blessed with brains. That's a possibility. But anyway, go through your life, do an inventory, and map out those times that you did something exceptional that had nothing to do with what the world dictates as success. Probably therein lies the gift.
Absolutely. And one quick question. I guess there can also be a frustration of identifying a gift and turning it into something monetary or making sure that your gift helps you to earn a living. There are some people, as I think Nathan had mentioned, you have a gift but maybe you're discouraged by your parents or you just don't see how
you have less than 1 minute remaining.
Money from it. But as time has, we have quickly come to an end. As Stacey, it won't allow us to address that. I would just go ahead and thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. Any last words, Nathan? Okay. Well, Stacey,
just want to say thank
you,
and we look forward to having you again.
Okay.
It's lights, camera, action. Mwine fili mundine, I'm the icon. Nibazi la kuhone kafuleshi, allergic to messy. Moto kanimbama, nobody touch me. But if any nizi nika, had a conviction. Planted by the maker, saying you faker. There's only one truth. You can use to navigate your way and produce fruit. Content with access to rising. And pleasing these human eyes when their hearts are so full of lies and don't value what is inside. Zelunimu pakeji.
Zelunimu pakeji.
Upakan zelunimu pakeji.
Zelunimu pakeji.
But show me what's in your heart. Show me. Show me what's in your soul. Kavali kaimwa mutrausas, buche inkala muntu. Olo wali estari na nzelu, akakamba chizungu. Ukapaka sauti pamanyua, buche inkala ndiyo.